Welcome to the NFL Talking Heads Fantasy Football Podcast Show. Here are your hosts, Jeff Carrier and Seth Lull.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the NFL Talking Heads Fantasy Football Podcast Show. Back for another great episode. I am your host, Jeff Carrier, and by my side is Seth Lull, and we are heading into week five of the NFL season. Seth, it is already October. It is crazy going by fast here. And we've been getting blitzed with a lot of questions as well. And today we're going to do our draft trade special. But I just want to do a quick recap, Seth, since we finished our four-week partnership with DK Legends. Proud to work with them for 4 weeks. We probably owe it to them to highlight our four-man competition from last week. And by probably no surprise to any of us, it was DK Legends taking the crown once again, and Danny just absolutely mopping the floor with us. So they took the competition 3 weeks to our one, and at least I got us one victory, Seth.
Yeah. And you also had your last two performances were very pitiful, though, so you got to throw that in as well. You did get lucky with one win.
Well, I mean, this last week, me and you came in second and third, so I don't think I did too bad. But, you know, but I did have that really horrendous week that would go down in the history books, so I agree with you there.
Yeah, I guess I was looking at your score towards the end of the Sunday, and you must have had some players going Monday or something, because you were at like 65 points or something, I think.
I think you're thinking about 2 weeks ago, buddy.
I might be thinking about 2 weeks ago.
These weeks are just absolutely blending together, so hey, what can you do? But in this episode, we are going to be talking about trades. It's that time of the year, Seth, where I kind of mentioned a little bit in the last Thursday episode, where you might need to make an aggressive move if your team is really, you know, 0-4, 1-3 at this point. You're kind of in a and talk a little about this, Seth. You know, if you are in that situation where your record is that, you're in a week-to-week win-now mode.
Yeah, and then you have to start thinking about, you know, if you're, you know, one of the leagues that I'm in, I'm 1-3. Actually, I'm 1-3 in a couple of our dynasty leagues, my two worst leagues, and in both those leagues, you know, it's a little bit different because they're dynasty, but if they were redraft leagues, you know, I would be really aggressive right about now going for players. Yeah, I might be trading away players that are on bye this week for players that are available, or maybe, you know, are playing well recently. And I'd be fine giving up a little bit of value to help my team in the short term to try and just, you know, cling to life. So, you know, now is a great time to trade. You know, 4 weeks are in the books. And you kind of have a good feel for kind of who your team is. You know, maybe you start off the year with a couple of really bad losses, a couple of fluky losses. But, you know, now that 4 weeks have gone by, you know if you have a good team or not. And now's a really good time, and we're going to talk about it, to buy low on certain players and sell high on other players and see if you can, you know, get the best of other people in your league. So,
absolutely. And so, Seth, one of the things that we talked a little bit about was, you know, this offseason, well, we always talk about this, is what can we do that no one else is doing that can at least help set us apart? And two, you know, help the listeners as much as humanly possible, because we can't talk about every single player, every single situation on every single podcast. And leading up into the drafts, there's a lot of different, you know, draft scenarios, and you just don't know what to expect in the middle of a draft. And we were able to actually come up with the draft grid our first year, and we got some pretty good feedback on that. It seems like everyone that is in the Talking Heads Nation, and especially in our private group message, is having some pretty good success. So, you know, I thought that was pretty revolutionary of us to a degree, you know, not groundbreaking, but to be able to cherry pick players and identify which players to stay away from in which round, how to target, you know, each round and by position, was definitely unique and different. And the next challenge we have is one of the next hardest things that we get a lot of questions on is trades, right? So we kind of have a beta version, if you will, of a trade chart. That's right. A trade chart that you can look at and basically start figuring out, you know, am I offering a valuable trade, you know, an even trade? Is this person sending me over an even trade? And so we have a beta version. And Seth's going to throw out some trades to me. I'm going to put them in the quote-unquote trade machine here and see what the numbers work out. Now, this looks a little bit like, and again, this is really rough around the edges, but I think what we want to do, Seth, is to get as much feedback as humanly possible. So it's set up in a PPR format with no quarterbacks. And if you want a copy of this, go to our website, NFLTalkingHeads.com, sign up on our newsletter right at the bottom of the page. Sign up on our newsletter. All you have to do is just put in your email address, click submit. That's it. I will send out a PDF version of this by the end of the week to everyone on the newsletter. So go ahead and do that at NFLTalkingHeads.com. Get yourself the beta version of our trade chart and then send us feedback, though. We need feedback. But how this works is if you've ever seen like one of the NFL trade charts when they do the NFL draft, it's got a numerical value attached to each pick in each round. So what we did was we attached a numerical value to basically each category of players that we have. So Seth, why don't you go ahead and we'll throw a couple of these out there. And then once we go into some of the sell high, buy lows, you know, if we think of another trade that involves these players, we'll go ahead and throw it into the trade machine again. But this is, you know, this is us just really testing this thing out for the first time live. So let's see how this goes.
All right, let's start with a trade for Antonio Brown. And we're going to package DeAndre Hopkins, who has actually tied for, you know, with him on the year for fantasy points. And we're going to go with Chris Thompson of Washington, who has 73 fantasy points.
Okay, so here's a very interesting thing about this that people are going to see is that there's a considerable amount of people left off the chart. And mostly those types of people, and I would say Chris Thompson's the only outlier, so it's just weird.
Let me pick another one.
Well,
then.
I just want to explain this. Basically, if they're not involved on here, they're worth 5 points. Is kind of how we're going to put it. It's going to outline, say, every other player worth 5 points. Chris Thompson's the only person that scored a legitimate amount of points that I can't associate really any value to. Seth, do you agree or disagree with that? Because I'm the one who kind of put this together. Just get your thoughts.
No, I think it's fair because he came into the year, he was undrafted in most leagues, and he had, you know, a couple blow-up weeks, you know, week 2 and week 3, did nothing last week. So he's, you know, I think a lot of people look at him as a flash in the pan, kind of fluky, and it's really hard to put a, you know, value on him based on 2 fluky weeks, given that he's really had no history of doing anything close to that.
Right. So I've got him basically down as if he's not on the list, he's worth 5 points. If he's worth 5 points, there's no way you can package him with DeAndre Hopkins for Antonio Brown.
Yep. So let's do DeAndre Hopkins and Amir Abdullah for Antonio Brown.
Okay. So Antonio Brown is worth the max points of 100 points and up there in the stud territory as you'd expect. DeAndre Hopkins is down at 46 points. So we're going to add 46 to Amir Abdullah. And Amir Abdullah is at 16 points. So that's 62 total points. So I would say still considerably off. How do you feel about that?
I mean,
I don't think you're trading Hopkins for Antonio Brown. I know 1 week of DeAndre Hopkins, but
yeah, no, I agree. If I had Antonio Brown, I wouldn't do that trade. I wouldn't even consider it.
Okay.
But I do think, though, that it's a good example of a trade, although I wouldn't consider it, you wouldn't consider it. There might be people in your league, or I'm talking to our listeners out here, if there might be people in your league that look at the fact that, okay, Brown and Hopkins have the same amount of points, and I get someone like Abdullah, especially if they have a need at running back, they might say, okay, I'll do this trade. So it's a good example of a trade that people might do, and it's worth a shot. Because it's in the ballpark. It's not completely off the reservation.
No, I mean, you're within, 62 to 100, it's a bit far off. It's hard to get up that 100-point mark, which is what the intention of this scale is. But the beauty is everyone in your league is not going to have this chart. So if someone comes to you and says, hey, I'm willing to move Antonio Brown, and then you start putting the numbers together and you say, yeah, I'm willing to do that because you're looking at this chart, that's a no-brainer if you're on the Hopkins side. Throw me another one.
Yeah. Okay. Now let's do one. I'm taking some of these studs here. Let's look at Todd Gurley because I want to trade for him in a couple of leagues that I'm in. So let's take Todd Gurley and let's package another running back and receiver. I like that idea. Because then you package a good running back and a good receiver for a stud like Gurley, the person you're trading with might say, oh, I get two positions, especially if they have a need at running back or maybe receiver. So they replace the running back with a trade and then they get a receiver. So let's do Leonard Fournette for the running back. And then let's do all right, this is where it gets tricky here. So let's do Tyreek Hill.
Okay. So interesting that you went with this, only because I wasn't too sure where you're going to start off. Because when you're at the 100-point mark, it's really hard to trade for these studs, which is the idea of the chart. Todd Gurley, 100-point player. There's only 400-point players. Todd Gurley, Kareem Hunt, Antonio Brown, Le'Veon Bell. Those are the only maxed out 100-point player. So he's 100 points. When you get to 100, Leonard Fournette is a 73-point player as of right now. So pretty high. And then Tyreek Hill is at 45. So you're at 118. So that's a trade that if you were a Todd Gurley owner, this says to do.
This is an interesting one because if I had Todd Gurley, I would not do that. Would you?
That's tough.
I don't think you can because well, first of all, I wasn't a big Tyreek Hill fan going into the year. He had one really good week against New England. Everyone's been doing that against New England. He's had two of the three games since then in single digits for fantasy points. So he's a good, solid receiver. I mean, better than solid. He's a very good receiver. And Leonard Fournette, you know, when you look at Leonard Fournette, he played Tom Savage week one. They're up in that game. He's already played the Jets. And they played that game against Baltimore in London when they were blowing them out by like 30 points. So, granted, I think he's going to be solid all year long. And he's going to have the carries. He's going to get touchdowns. He already has three on the year. So it's a solid trade. Hence why, you know, the point total is higher than Gurley. So it's a fair trade, absolutely. But you can't trade Gurley because, like we always say, would you rather start Tyreek Hill and Leonard Fournette, or would you rather start Todd Gurley and, you know, somebody like a Pierre Garçon or a Tyrell Williams? I'd rather start Todd Gurley and like one of those level receivers. He's just too good. You know, he's just way too good.
That is a tough one because one is you pick two people that we're not super high on or, you know, haven't been notoriously high on like Fournette and Hill, even though Hill hasn't had the greatest start. But you know, that's got to be really appealing because obviously Gurley's hitting he's in the category of that, you know, some people might say sell high. We're not. We're just going to say, hey, just keep riding the horse. So that's a really tough one. Maybe Fournette falls into the next category lower. The tiers drop off really quickly from 73 to 60 points. That still puts him in the category of you should still do that trade, but it puts it a lot more absolutely even.
Yeah.
I think a lot of people would have to still highly consider that trade. The way that Fournette's come out, the way that he's playing, and you know, knowing that Tyreek Hill can't really do any worse than he's doing.
Yeah, I just think, I mean, Todd Gurley on pace for over 300 carries, he's on pace for over 80 catches, he's on pace for over 20 touchdowns. Even if he regresses to the mean a little bit, we're still looking at most likely, at the very least, a top five fantasy running back with much higher upside than Leonard Fournette. And obviously you get Tyreek Hill, which is nice. I just don't think you can trade a player like Todd Gurley, especially considering he's not coming out of nowhere. He had a really good rookie season. He had a really good college career. He just had an off year last year with Jeff Fisher, which is understandable. So
yeah, but I'm looking at their numbers right now, and I don't want to get too off target here, but you know, almost the same amount of rushes, five difference, definitely a considerable amount of more yards for Gurley, almost the same amount of rushing touchdowns. The real big difference is, you know, they have two different, only a separation of two targets in the passing game, yet Todd Gurley has three touchdowns in the passing game to Fournette's one. So, actually, there's an eight target difference. The the passing game is a big difference for Todd Gurley. So if he can keep that up, that would be the big difference. I still think that the chart is probably right. It doesn't mean that you don't do it.
At that point, it comes down to a matter of preference.
Yeah.
And talk a little about that, because you and I talked about this earlier when you were creating this, about, you know, a lot the tough thing with trades is it comes down to roster composition and team needs, and it's hard to factor that in with the trade machine. But so we talked about, okay, well, what do you do? Like, so how many points are you willing to give up to fill a need? For example, if you need a running back really badly and you're trading, you know, greater value than you're getting in return because you're getting a running back, how many points off are you willing to give up?
I think around 10. I think 10 is kind of my number. We were doing some before this too, and I want you to throw maybe one or two more to me here, because I think this is a pretty good exercise, because we're also talking about how to execute these trades. I think my number would be 10. So anyone who's looking at this, you sign up for the newsletter, you're going to get it. I think my number would be 10. And so that the number that spit back with is Fournette Hill. I think you're getting a lot of value in return, especially in a deep league as well. So my
exactly.
number would be 10.
Yep. Yeah. And if I was, you know, if I was maybe 1-3 and I had really bad receivers and my team was really shallow, maybe had a lot of injuries, people on bye, I might still consider that trade. I just think that looking at it in a vacuum, I could not trade Todd Gurley. But let's do another one.
Let's not forget, he's still in the top, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. He's still the 9th receiver.
Yep.
Had 2 weeks of 20 points. I think you got to do that if you're the Todd Gurley owner. I think.
All right, let's do one for a tight end. All right, and let's do one for your boy Zach Ertz.
Okay,
so we're gonna do Zach Ertz.
So
currently the second.
Real quick, I've only got. I technically had to throw in two more. I've got three main targets that are tradable for, as tight ends: the obvious Gronk, Ertz, and Kelsey. I think I have very low Clay and Reed, but for the most part, I can't imagine you really trading for any tight end that's not named Ertz, Kelsey, or Gronk.
Okay, well, that works out good, because we're going to do one for Ertz here. So we're going to do you want me to do a lower level tight end packaged with another positional player, or just do like a running back receiver? What do you want me to do?
You know, anyone who's losing a tight end probably needs a tight end in return.
Yep.
So go ahead and throw in either, you know, Reed, for example.
All right, let's do Jordan Reed. And then people usually need running backs, and everybody loves their running backs. So let's do a running back.
Seth is doing this blind on his end.
Yep.
Just for reference.
Yep. Okay, so Jordan Reed. Get a little interesting here. Let's do Jordan Reed. Do you have Alvin Kamara on your list?
I do.
All right, Alvin Kamara and Jordan Reed for Zach Ertz.
Okay. So Zach Ertz is at 46 points. Okay. I have Jordan Reed at 10. So we got to make up 36 here. And I have Alvin Kamara at 18. So that's only 28. So it's still a little shy. And I think that's...
Yeah, that's fair. That's right on. Because I really don't have any stock. I don't have any value in Jordan Reed. He's always, and it's not like he misses a ton of games. Well, he does, but it's just that when he plays, like this week, he's playing, but then he's out of the game for long periods of time because they want to limit his snap count. It's always something with Jordan Reed. So I don't put any stock in him. I don't have any value with Jordan Reed. And then, yeah, I mean, I think that's – and then Alvin Kamara has had one really good week. I just – you know, and he's on bye this week on top of it. Yeah, I think that's very fair, especially for Ertz, who's rock solid, only one touchdown on the season. If he gets any spike in touchdowns, then he's got a little bit of upside, a little bit of room to grow there. So I think that's spot on.
Yeah, spot on. I mean, Kamara at 18-point value versus Ertz 46. You know, Ertz has got to be more than double Kamara. And Ertz obviously has to be considerably lower than where these top 100-point players are. So give me one more. I love where that one landed in terms of the point scale.
All right, let's do one who a running back who has underperformed because he had one really bad game. We're gonna do Ezekiel Elliott, and I'm gonna do two wide receivers for this one. All right, we're gonna do Golden Tate, and then we're going to do Chris Hogan.
So Ezekiel Elliott is in the second tier of 86 points, so we need to get to 86. And Golden Tate is 18. He's been struggling on the year. And Chris Hogan is at 33. Definitely a
okay,
bit
so
more.
Let's see. We always hear about trades, you know, people having questions about, you know, trade examples, and some of them involve three or four players for one, you know, going for quantity, giving up quantity for quality. So let me add a running back and see what it does to it. Okay.
Okay. So obviously we're still considerably lower than we should be, which is accurate.
Yep. Let's add James White.
Yeah, just James White's just stuck 16 points, so plus 16. 67. And I think this is a perfect example. So you get this offer for someone. It's like, what? Training James White, Chris Hogan, and would you say Golden Tate? And Golden Tate. Yeah. It's like, well, yeah, but I'm giving you Ezekiel Elliott.
Yeah, and that's where I would counter, you know, with the James White part if they had a better running back. So let's like this example. Let's work with this here. Let me take James White out.
Okay, hold on. Let me get back to my point value here. We had Hogan at 33 points, and then we had Golden Tate at 18. Okay, I'm back up to speed here. 51 points.
Let's add in. Let's go from James White to a Carlos Hyde.
Okay. Yeah. So Carlos Hyde, you know, definitely someone that we haven't been high on, but having a really good year. I tried to be fair to him. Put him up to the 38 point marker, pretty high. Plus that 51. 51 plus 38. We have 89 to Zeke's 86. So now you're talking about a fair trade, and I think at this point it comes down to, like any fair trade, it comes down to preference. Do you still want to do it? You know, do you really want the other person to overpay for him? But
I think if I have – well, so if you have a shallow roster and maybe you only start two receivers – two running backs, no flex, then obviously if you have Zeke, you probably don't do that trade. But a lot of the leagues that you and I are in, Jeff, we're in deeper leagues where we have to start three receivers, two running backs, two flex. You do that trade. If you have Zeke, you do that trade. You trade him to get Chris Hogan, to get Golden Tate, and to get Carlos Hyde. Even with Carlos Hyde's injuries and everything and whatnot, I think you do that trade. Carlos Hyde's having a really good year.
If you need all those starters,
if you're in a really deep roster and you're starting, you know, receivers like Kendall Wright or, you know, Danny Amendola, or maybe you have Michael Crabtree now who has to deal with EJ Manuel for a few weeks. You know, if you're in that situation where you're starting, or maybe starting Frank Gore in your flex, I mean, you probably do that trade because you have to look at it. Okay, Carlos Hyde replacing Zeke is a downgrade. So Golden Tate and Chris Hogan both have to be upgrades.
Yep, they both have to be upgrades for sure. And again, those points are very, very even. So at that point, you have to look at your obviously your league scoring, roster settings, as Seth said, preference, you know, is there upgrades at the bottom of your roster for starters, so on and so forth. But here's a great way. You could get this chart and send it out to your entire league mates and say, hey, guys, stop sending crappy trades. At least get me in the realm of possibilities here. And if you have Zeke and you send out that trade, like there's a good chance that Hogan, Tate, and Carlos Hyde are all starters for him. And the guy's going to respond back with, those are all my starters. Like, how about someone from my bench? No, I need someone else from your starting territory. Like, that's a fair trade. So I like where this is at, Seth. So we'll go out to everyone, all our listeners. Make sure you sign up on the newsletter and make sure you send us some feedback. Go out, send us some trades and send us some feedback. What players would you move up or down? We're going to call this the beta version all this year. It's going to be all beta. It's going to be all free, and it's going to help dominate everyone's trading. That being said, let's go ahead and get into some buy low and sell high players. Kick us off with your first person, Seth.
All right. Buy low. So, you know, what I always like to do is look at what players are overachieving, obviously. We're going to start with sell high here. I think one obvious name that comes to mind is Chris Thompson. Now, again, if you're in a league with a lot of smart individuals, a lot of smart fantasy players, you're probably going to be met with a lot of resistance if you try and trade Chris Thompson and you try and sell him high and ask for a lot in return. But the fact of the matter is, he is the sixth rated running back right now, or it's the sixth most points at the running back position going into his bye week. So he is on a bye week, but he has 73.7 fantasy points. All right, so he has more fantasy points than Ezekiel Elliott, is more fantasy points than Ty Montgomery and Jordan Howard. The list goes on and on. So you're probably not going to get 73-point value, because even someone who's a fantasy novice understands that Chris Thompson is not a 73-point player, and it's a little skewed. But I think you can still sell him high and get something decent in return, because he's coming off a week that's much closer to what we've been accustomed to seeing from Chris Thompson, one fantasy point. So now I would use the Chris Thompson example because, you know, I do think that there's value for him on the open market in a trade. And if I own Chris Thompson, I don't have a lot of value in him unless I just am desperate at the running back position and I say, okay, he's had a really good start to the season. He plays running back. I can start him and he has a little bit of upside. But we're going to start with Chris Thompson. I have him as my number one sell high candidate, which I think is pretty obvious name to throw out there, given a couple of the weeks that he's had and how inflated his point total is.
Yeah, I completely agree. I you know, we talked about it, I think, in the last podcast. I couldn't buy into the production. I was high on him last year, and I tracked him really well in terms of how Jay Gruden uses him and everything he said this year. I feel like this is one of those players that, uncharacteristically, someone who has a smaller role that I feel like I'm really in tune with. And his role is going to be what it is. His touches per touchdown, which was just way too out of skew. You know, and a great example was on
out of skew.
It's been a while since we've had a Jeffism, so I got to give some love to everyone there. So I just like this trade value chart that when Seth brought it up, you know, just I don't think you put any value on him. So if you can throw him in a trade and have someone put any type of value on him, you got to figure out a way how to get rid of him. So I think that's a really good one. Let me throw out a name, Seth, that I'm kind of really up in the air on in terms of selling high. But here's a player who didn't do anything for the first 3 weeks. We were high on him before the draft. Running back went down, finally got his opportunity, and he made the most out of it. That's Bilal Powell. Do you think that, though everything we've seen, and we're not too sure what's going to happen with Matt Forte, I mean, we can assume that they're not going to start him for the rest of the year. They still have Elijah McGuire that still got 10 carries last week. Bilal Powell's, most of his production came on two big plays, one specifically of 75 yards when he wasn't touched. A little bit of weird production there. Is it worth selling him?
The problem with Bilal Powell, and I have him in a league, is what are you going to get for Bilal Powell? Now, if you can trade him for something of substance, then I'd definitely be open to moving Powell. I just don't think that you're going to get a lot for him. He did have one good week, but he also had, three really, really bad weeks where he was basically non-existent and wasn't being used at all. And with Forte coming back at some point, I just think it's going to be really hard to move Powell, especially considering coming into the year, he wasn't this, you know, Jordan Howard, Leonard Fournette, Ty Montgomery. He was still overlooked a little bit. He was being drafted in, the 6th, 7th, 8th round, somewhere in there. So, and then on top of that, he starts off with three really bad weeks. I don't think you're going to be able to get much for him. He might be a solid player to package with somebody else because the week that he just had elevates him past just being a throw-in. Maybe he's better than that, and that's a way of potentially being able to sell high is including him as part of a trade package where he's not a throw-in. A couple weeks ago, he would be a throw-in. So, but I don't think you can trade Bilal Powell and expect to get much in return.
Yeah, I mean, I guess you're right. I mean, I do have him on here. I think he's got okay value projected because he could have that role, but it's still going to be tough to trade him. I agree. I think that if you could get at least a value that is shown here on the chart, I definitely consider it. I just don't know what the Jets are thinking, right? Like, because clearly this guy's productive, at least. I mean, it looks like he's productive in terms of NFL purposes, most certainly fantasy purposes when he gets the bulk of the workload. And even Elijah McGuire getting 10 carries shouldn't really disrupt his production fantasy-wise a whole lot. So, I don't know. I think it's an interesting one. Again, like, I didn't really have – I wasn't really too sure what to think, so I was just really looking for your feedback. Who's your next player?
Well, actually, and I'm glad you brought up Bilal Powell, because I think one that's really a really good – a similar example, and I probably bring this player up because I have him and Bilal Powell as my two starting running backs in the league. So,
well, let me ask you real quick on Bilal Powell. Would you rather have Bilal Powell or Alshon Jeffrey?
Alshon Jeffrey. I would have to say Alshon Jeffrey. Yeah. I mean, it partly comes down to need at that point, but I just think Alshon Jeffrey has more upside. I'm willing to cut Alshon Jeffrey a little bit more slack going to a new team than I am Bilal Powell, just because the usage for the first 3 weeks was alarming with Bilal Powell. But wasn't being used. And then you have McGuire now, who's active and was actually had a really good game on Sunday as well. Forte come back. I think there's too many things working against Bilal Powell, so I would have to go Jeffrey.
Interesting. I think that one's probably purely down to need, but Jeffrey hasn't caught more than 4 passes besides one game. It's getting a little bit of touchdown love. It just it's very close. I got him back-to-back here. I got him back-to-back on the chart. So.
Yeah, I mean, Alshon Jeffrey, I mean, it has not been pretty. But the most important thing that we said going into the year with Jeffrey is he has to stay healthy, and he's healthy.
Yeah. For,
he's not healthy very often, so he's healthy, and I'm going to assume that, you know, as time goes on, as the games go on, he's going to catch his share of touchdowns. He's been one of the best red zone, you know, threats in the NFL over the past few years. So my next example is Lamar Miller. This is another running back who kind of came, you know, showed some signs of life with the by far his best game of the season, recorded his first 2 touchdowns of the season in a game in which Deshaun Watson, you know, had over 40 fantasy points and just went bonkers. So I think Lamar Miller is a better example than Bilal Powell because he had a little bit more cachet coming into the season than Powell. And now because he put up 29 fantasy points, got 2 touchdowns, I think a lot of people are going to be like, okay, that's the Lamar Miller that we expected. And they're going to, you know, his leash is a lot longer than Powell's. So I think Lamar Miller is somebody that you could trade and get decent value in return, especially someone that needs a running back or maybe like Lamar Miller coming into the season. You know, and they also look at Deshaun Watson and say, okay, this offense is finally clicking, even though it's just been one game or maybe two, including the New England game. Because the reason I would sell high Lamar Miller is for what I just outlined. We got his first 2 touchdowns of the season in one game, kind of a fluky game to some extent. He still has Donta Foreman breathing down his neck, fighting, you know, he's fighting him off for carries. As the season goes on, I expect it to be more like a 50-50 split in terms of carries. So for that reason, I think he's a really good sell high candidate. And I think you'll be able to get a lot more in return than you would for someone like Powell.
Yep, I agree. I got him almost at double the price here. And I think I agree. I don't think that we can expect that kind of production from Houston week in and week out. And even as Houston completely blew up, I don't think that we saw anything too crazy from Lamar Miller. You know, I'm not going to sit here and say only because they played Tennessee. You correct me every week I say comment on defenses because there's a lot of poor defenses in the league. But yeah, that type of blow up and that type of crazy scoring from Houston, you know, I think is a little uncharacteristic, of course. I think we'd all agree on that. I think this is definitely a good week to, while it might look really good in your team, like, you know what, I think you could do this again. I would definitely put him in a 2-for-1 to try and upgrade a position, specifically the running back, if you can get that done. So I think that's a great sell high candidate as well.
Yeah, and a lot of these, you know, we might think they're a sell high candidate. You might be in a league where people don't value them the way you value them or the way that we're valuing them now. They might not see it as, you know, for example, like my next player that I had is Larry Fitzgerald. You know, I think he's a good sell high candidate because if you're in a league where a lot of people look at the name Larry Fitzgerald, they look at the week that he had in week three against Dallas, where he had 13 catches for 149 yards and a touchdown, then I think you can sell him high because, you know, going into this week, he is the seventh receiver overall in fantasy. But if you're in a league where people look at Larry Fitzgerald as old and, you know, he's, you know, that week was kind of a fluke and they're on a really bad offense, then you might have trouble selling him high. But I think he's a good example for those reasons. You know, he's on a really bad offense that is struggling. He already had what's going to probably be his biggest game of the season against Dallas. And I think this is a good time to sell him high. What are your thoughts on Fitzgerald?
I completely agree. I think maybe when you look at the trade chart I have here, I've got him decently low. So if you have Fitzgerald and you throw him in with some other players here that are a little bit higher than him, you might be able to get a decent-sized stud according to the trading chart here. I completely agree. And a lot of why I completely agree is just because I just can't get behind this offense. I just cannot get behind it. It's like a Jerome Brown coming back and had a really nice game last week. He's only had one really good week. I guess you can, you know, got to give something to being consistent and obviously being force-fed some targets. But I just don't really like the offense. I'd be more than happy to part ways with Fitzgerald at a very reasonable price, and I think that will be evident in the trade value chart.
And here's a good example of something you could do with Fitzgerald. Let's say you are a team that is either 4-0, maybe you're 3-1.
You want to throw out a scenario here, and
let's throw out a scenario. And this is an aggressive trade. If you believe Andrew Luck is coming back in a couple weeks, and he's going to be the Andrew Luck of old. Mm. What about trading Larry Fitzgerald for T.Y. Hilton straight up?
Wow, what a great great segue here. Got Larry Fitzgerald at 36 points, T.Y. Hilton at 38. I think that's a phenomenal, savvy move.
And if you're trading Fitzgerald, it doesn't come without risk because for the next week or two, you're going to take a hit probably. Fitzgerald is much safer, and it's not like he's going to be a scrub for the remainder of the season either. He's got a high floor. So I think, you know, especially if the person who has Hilton is struggling, they might be willing to move him. They might, you know, be getting a little impatient.
Absolutely. And again, like T.Y. Hilton's at, you know, 2 points above Larry Fitzgerald today as of this week. But what if Larry Fitzgerald has another poor week? What if Andrew Luck's coming back week six and T.Y. Hilton owner has made it through the 5 weeks? Like, well, that's too late. The owner's committed at that point. You got to trade.
Another good example is Fitzgerald and somebody for Julio Jones, who's struggled, he's banged up, and he's on a bye week. You package Larry Fitzgerald with, you know, somebody like an Abdullah, someone in that range, Bilal Powell, that's an aggressive offer for someone like Julio, especially, again, if the person who owns Julio is struggling and is in need of a win.
Yeah, I mean, in our trade chart, is not going to ever allow that if you have Julio. But of course, you know, this is, you could be savvy here.
Everyone has the trade charts. Yeah. I mean, because throwing the trade chart out, because the other people in your league, you know, may or may not, you know, hopefully they will. Hopefully everyone.
You've already told everyone about us, right?
Exactly. Yeah. But I mean, if you had Julio and you were 1-3, right? And I offered you Larry Fitzgerald and Amir Abdullah.
I still couldn't do it because I
wouldn't do it either. But I think there are people that would say, okay, well, Larry Fitzgerald has way more points. Julio's hurt, and he's on a bye week, and I'm getting a running back. I think that's it's worth a shot.
Absolutely. I mean, that's why you always got to pick up the phone. You'd be surprised of what people's interests are. Just pick up the phone and just start asking, who are you interested in? What's your value on him? Seth and I do this all the time. Okay, rank these three or four players by preference. Who is your favorite out of these three or four? And go to their team and select their four wide receivers and see who they like the best. And next thing you know, they're putting your favorite person that you want third in order. So you immediately target the person that they're valuing lower than you're valuing, and now you have a potential, you know, a value that they're not considering the same as you.
Yep.
And T.Y. Hilton was actually the next person that I wanted to bring up as a buy low, or at least when we got to the buy low category. So it seems like you're on the same page with me there. Andrew Luck's going to start practicing this week. May or may not play next week. We still got to deal with rust and all that kind of stuff. But this seems like a pretty good time to get T.Y. Hilton. You've let the owner deal with most of the pain. Andrew Luck's finally on a football field. It does come with some risk, of course. You don't know if there's a setback, and we still don't know if it's week six or not. But this is the time, now or never, to get T.Y. Hilton at the best optimal price.
My only concern with T.Y. Hilton, and I agree, he is definitely someone that I look at as a great buy low player. But you don't know when Andrew Luck's coming back. But more importantly, he also has the bye week 11. So let's say Andrew Luck comes back, you know, week 7 or week 8. You have a couple weeks, 2 or 3 weeks until the bye, and then he's got a pretty it's not I wouldn't call it a brutal stretch, but weeks 13 through week 16, which, you know, 16 is most leagues championship. You have in Jacksonville week 13, in Buffalo week 14, the way Buffalo's been playing, Denver week 15, and in Baltimore week 16. So
that's pretty rough. I didn't know that.
So you have 4 weeks in a row where, just on paper, those look like, at the very least, somewhat tough matchups for fantasy. And then you have the bye week, week 11. So how many weeks are you going to get the full Andrew Luck to T.Y. Hilton connection going? That has to be something that you take into account.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, at this point, right now, I think anyone who's in a situation where you're at least a little bit surplus on wins, you're 3-1, 4-0. Every single trade you do has to be looking at playoff weeks in my eyes. If you're in a winning record, you feel confident about making the playoffs, every trade has to be considered with the playoff matchups, because that's literally all what happens. I mean, I've done so many trades where I've lost 1 or 2 weeks right afterwards because the matchups were brutal, but man, when it came to playoff time, really cashed in on those trades. So that's a great call there, though. Those are some pretty rough weeks. So who knows? Maybe in a couple weeks, he'll be a sell-high candidate if Luck comes back, does pretty good, and then we start forecasting towards that playoff run there.
Yep. All right, I got one more sell-high candidate. We got time for one more sell-high?
Yep.
All right, Brandon Cooks. And he's a player that, if you just look at his numbers, you could say, all right, well, maybe he could be a buy-low guy because he only has 57 fantasy points. He's outside the top 10 at the wide receiver position, playing for, you know, probably the best offense in all of football, an offense that's been having to score over 30 points just to stay in the game in New England. But Brandon Cooks, he's really had one good game against Houston with the 2 touchdowns. Besides that, he hasn't recorded any touchdowns. Both touchdowns came in that one game. And we're talking about two catches. Week three against Houston, he had a season high for catches, receiving yards, and touchdowns. And as the season goes on, I mean, he's got some good matchups coming up against the Jets, against Tampa, against Atlanta. But there's so many options in New England, and, you know, with Amendola, with Chris Hogan, with Rob Gronkowski, with all the running backs. I think, and he's got some cachet, some name value, where a lot of people are going to want to trade for him. So I think he could be, despite his slow start to the season for his standards and based on what his expectations were coming into the season, I think you could still look at Brandon Cooks as someone that you could sell high.
I completely agree. Again, I think this chart here has got him pretty low. It's got him in the Larry Fitzgerald category here. I think that's pretty accurate because of name value. You know, when we're looking at this chart, we're looking at a lot of things. We're looking at, obviously, what type of production they've already had. We're trying to forecast out. We're trying to look at injuries. We're trying to look at numerous things. And when you're only catching three passes in a New England offense, he's being productive. He's worth a start every week. He's not going to give you a zero bomb. But as Seth mentioned, his name carries a lot of weight. He's got a lot of cachet in his name. And I don't see too many things happening different with New England's offense going forward. I mean, the only thing I see actually happening potentially is that maybe they actually play a little bit of defense for once in their lives, and maybe Gillislee gets a little bit more involved, to be completely frank, because if anything, these past couple games have been pure Brandon Cooks territory. One of them he cashed in, one of them he didn't. So I would absolutely be looking to part ways with Brandon Cooks if the price was right.
Yep, and I think he's an interesting player because you could look at it both ways. You could say, you know, he could be a good buy-low guy, but he could also be a sell-high guy, because I still think, despite the slow start that he has, most people, at least in the leagues that you and I are in, Jeff, would love to get their hands on Brandon Cooks. And they still, I think it's just the reputation that he has and he's had for the last two or three years. Kind of like Amari Cooper. I've always thought he's been a little bit overrated, even though he has had some good seasons. So I think he's a good one. Let me give you
an example here of how probably most people would put him next to. Most people would probably put him next to Doug Baldwin. Wouldn't you say? Am I off? Yeah.
Yep.
Well, we've got a full 10-point difference on the value chart in Baldwin's favor.
Yep. I think that's a good example. I'd much rather have Baldwin, obviously.
Yep. Okay. So, all right, we're going to buy low now?
Buy low.
Okay.
Yep. Now, this is a player that I wasn't really super high on going into the year because he's kind of boring. He's always had a high floor, but since Peyton Manning left and retired, he just hasn't had the touchdown totals that he had when Peyton Manning was there. Demaryius Thomas, he's way, way low. He's coming off a really bad week, worst week of the season, one catch for 11 yards, zero touchdowns on the season, only 42 fantasy points, and he's on a bye week on top of it. I like Demaryius Thomas, especially if you're in a deeper league. You have, to start a flex player, three wide receivers, something like that. And you can afford to, if he's trading for a player on a bye week, you can't be 0-4 or 1-3 probably. You have to feel good about your chances of making the playoffs. But I like Demaryius Thomas. And now I still don't think he has the upside, obviously, but he's got some really good matchups, especially when you look towards the playoffs, week 16 against Washington, week 15, Indy, week 14, Jets, week 13, Miami, week 12, Oakland. And I think he's going to have a much better game against Oakland week 12 than he did in week 4. I think that was a little bit of an anomaly. And then Cincinnati, New England week 10, got some really cake matchups from weeks 10 on out. And before week 4, this last week against Oakland, he had five catches or more every single game. Five catches against, week 1, six catches week 2, six catches week 3. Just hasn't found the end zone. So I think he's a good buy low candidate because I think if you own Demaryius Thomas, you're probably a little fed up with him. You're getting impatient, and he's on a bye week. So I think he'd be one of the first people I would look at as, okay, let me trade for him.
Yeah, he's an excellent buy low candidate. And again, all of these buy low people are not going to sound super sexy, otherwise it wouldn't be buy low, right?
Yep.
But again, to Seth's point, 5-6 catches a game, zero touchdowns in all of the games. He was still, besides one game, able to put up double-digit points. Kind of a weird game there last week with Oakland. Trevor Siemian just didn't put up a lot of yards, only 179 passing yards. And for whatever reason, Siemian came out like gangbusters the first two games, had really high production in the red zone, a little higher than normal from what I was reading and the stats I was had read. But zero touchdowns for DT, again, I love to bring up regression to the mean here. He's going to get his 5 touchdowns, 6 touchdowns on the year. He just went through 4 without one. So if you're trading for him, there's a good chance that out of the next 12 games, every other game, he's going to have a touchdown, just getting back to his average. So consider that.
Yep. And my next one you're really going to like. I mean, you've been agreeing with me all episode, so this nothing will change with this one because this is your boy, Devontae Parker, who I think is – and it's not like he's had a bad start to the season, but, he's got his bye week out of the way, which is great, which also means that his total points is kind of skewed. You look at it, he's further down in the list than he would be otherwise. He had one really good week, but he hasn't been great so far this season, and I think we both agree he has a ton of upside. So I think Devontae Parker is somebody. Now the question is going to be, what are you going to give up to acquire him? Because depending on the owner, usually people that own Devontae Parker love Devontae Parker, like you have him in a league or two and you love Devontae Parker. But if you are trading with an owner who owns Devontae Parker and has him because they got him at a good value, maybe not too attached to him, he could be a pretty good buy low candidate as well.
Yeah, I've got him at a pretty decent trade value chart here.
We know.
I agree, I guess, depending on what you'd have to give up. Definitely concerned with the quarterback situation there. His playoff weeks look great. He's playing Tennessee this week. The issue is, if Cutler cannot take advantage of the New Orleans defense. I can't bring up any other defense. Doesn't matter if it's Tennessee and they just gave up a zillion points to Houston this week, and they gave up a zillion points to Seattle the week before that. I mean, so, and they gave up a another zillion points to Oakland, I think, week one. So this is, as again, another prime matchup as you can get, but they didn't score against New Orleans, so I don't know what to think. Their playoff matchups are also good for the most part. I mean, in Buffalo is not great, but it's not terrible. And in KC, KC's going to put up enough points where they're going to be always throwing. It seems like he's got a pretty good floor, though. Even on really bad games like a la Miami scoring 0 points, he still managed to get 6 for 69. So how can you go wrong?
Yep. Yep. And my next player, we want to shift to running backs. We've been doing a lot of wide receiver talk with these examples. And this is a player, you might actually disagree with me on this one, because I know you've never been a huge fan of him. Tevin Coleman, I've always liked him a lot. He's on bye. And, you know, I think training for players on bye are another great way to buy low on players, because you get these fantasy owners that are always in the now, especially if they need a win. So trading for players on bye, especially players that are, you know, kind of a little bit under the radar, like Tevin Coleman. You know, he's splitting time with Devontae Freeman. He hasn't had a great year, but you look at his numbers. I mean, 18 fantasy points, 11, 12, 9. He's got a very solid floor, right? He's had six carries or more every single game. He's averaging 6.3 yards a carry, so he's been really efficient with the carries that he's been getting. And then he's on pace for 50 catches. And oh, by the way, if anything happens to Devontae Freeman, Tevin Coleman immediately becomes a top 5 to 7 fantasy running back, hands down. So I think Tevin Coleman is someone you can start, even with Devontae Freeman being healthy. You can start Tevin Coleman any week. You can start him in your flex. And on top of that, when you look at his playoff schedule, and we keep going back to this, let me just pull up Tevin Coleman's playoff schedule real quick. I just had it up and then X'd out of it. He plays New Orleans week 14 and week 16. So with Tampa Bay sprinkled in there, we know how bad the NFC South is. What do you think about Tevin Coleman as a trade? And it's not even like he's performed under his expectations. I just think he's a solid running back with upside if anything does happen to Freeman.
Yeah, I think that if I were to do a trade that involves Coleman, he would have to be like the second piece to it. Like, I don't know how I'm going to be able to work out a trade where he's my primary target. And, you know, he was someone that's really tough to put on the trade value chart. I got him considerably low because while he is getting double-digit points, I just don't know how much of a great trade target he is. I think you bring up a lot of good points. It's like, well, you know, this guy is basically startable. Yeah, if my max output is 12 points for the most part. I still view him as mostly a handcuff, but a handcuff that if I got in a pinch, or if I need to start someone on bye weeks, I could throw in. So he's got that upside. I just don't know how much it's worth paying for that upside, I guess.
Yeah, well, that's always going to be the question. You know, what do you have to give up to acquire a player like that? I like him more than players like Blau Powell, Amir Abdullah, James White, who I think people think about them as more starter worthy than Tevin Coleman. Because, you know, even though they're all sharing time, I don't know. I just feel like Tevin Coleman, I don't look at him as a handcuff like you do, because they use him in the passing game and he gets carries and he gets a lot of yards of those carries. And if, in an offense like Atlanta, he's going to get touchdowns. So I like Tevin Coleman, but I see what you're saying. It's, you know, his upside is definitely limited if nothing happens to Devontae Freeman. So
yeah, you know, and you know, maybe I need to, you know, maybe move him a little bit or something like that in terms of the trade value chart. I think that his points aren't very different than James White. I mean, I do have him fairly close, but I still would like James White, but when it all comes down to it, they're both very similar players. So,
yep. And I got one more, and then I got a question about another player for you. Okay. that we can wrap up with. So this next one, I think this is one you're going to agree with me on, Joe Mixon. He has to be somebody that you're buying low. The only problem, I guess, with Joe Mixon, he's a rookie. He's kind of more of a sexy fantasy commodity. Everybody's thinking the same thing. Oh, new offensive coordinator. Eventually, he's going to take over the reins and he's going to be a fantasy workhorse. That's what you're up against. But I still think you could buy him low. I mean, just based on what he's done so far, What are your thoughts on Joe Mixon?
I agree. I would definitely buy him. But as you mentioned, he kind of has that Brandon Cooks, Devontae Parker kind of name appeal. Everyone's been kind of waiting for this thing to happen. And we got a little bit closer these past couple weeks with a lot more touches, but the touches didn't turn into points. Maybe if you wait a couple more weeks, the owner will get frustrated and be willing to move on. As a Joe Mixon owner in a redraft league, have him only in one. You know, I'm still waiting for him to get the full reins, I guess, of the job. And again, this is someone who's watching the tape and realizing that he's getting these trashy handoffs at the end of the game and losing 15 yards and it's affecting his box score. But I'm also watching the game and saying, hey, I haven't seen anything that spectacular at the same time. So I think that if you do find an owner who's more than willing to say, hey, I'm going to throw in Joe Mixon, he's got a lot of name sex appeal, and they're willing to throw him at a decent price at you, absolutely go and grab him.
I guess it depends on what you think, how high you are on Joe Mixon. If you think that within a few weeks or towards the, you know, the playoffs, fantasy playoffs, he can be a borderline elite fantasy running back, if you think he has that upside as early as this season, then, you know, buying low for you might mean, you know, maybe you give up a little bit more to get him, but you're still getting him at a good price considering what you think of him, if that makes sense. So you're not going to.
Let me ask you a question.
Okay.
Would you rather have Joe Mixon or Adam Thielen?
Oh man, that's.
I mean, I did that on purpose because I got him back to back on the trade value chart. But
yeah, I think it comes down to, am I set at the running back position? Because I think Adam Thielen has upside just like Joe Mixon does, because if Sam Bradford can get healthy, we've already seen what Adam Thielen can do with Sam Bradford under center. So I think they both have upside. It comes down to, you know, do I have running backs? If I'm really hurting at running back, then I'll take Joe Mixon, because even if he doesn't reach the ceiling, you know, his upside that I'm hoping he can, I at least know he's going to get 17 to 18 carries, as evident by the last 2 weeks. You know, it did help Bill Lazor, the new offensive coordinator, that he takes over right when they're playing Green Bay and then Cleveland back to back. I mean, pretty convenient for him, but that's a close one. I would lean towards Joe Mixon.
Okay. Yeah. Back to back. So, I mean, it's really, complete toss up. So maybe I should have asked a little bit further one, but that's a good example of kind of just, I guess, showing, I guess, what kind of range that Mixon's really in. And
because Adam Thielen, if Sam Bradford's not the quarterback, Adam Thielen's going to be inconsistent, and he's still going to be somebody that you're probably going to have to start. But, you know, when you look at the last few weeks, you know, since Bradford's been out, 5 catches, 59 yards, you know, 5 catches, 98 yards, 5 catches, 44 yards, no touchdowns. I mean, he's just very pedestrian. So I would have to go Mixon. I think their floors are pretty similar. Mixon has a higher floor than Thielen, and still has more upside. So I think you got to go Mixon, but it's close.
It's close because obviously we're expecting Sam Bradford to be back. There's no
as early as this Monday night against Chicago. Yep.
Exactly. Quarterbacks. Go ahead.
Well, I had a question on a player, because I don't really want to put him or mention him as a buy low guy, because I don't know if I really want to acquire this player. I also don't know if I were to own this player, you know, I don't know if I can really try and sell him low or try and just get pennies on the dollar for him, because I'm not going to get anything in return. What do you think about Jay Ajayi? What would you do with Jay Ajayi, and which category would you put him into?
Category? Well, I've got him pretty low, to be honest. I can't buy into the offense, and he doesn't catch passes. He would be a sell low. Like, I'd still go try and get rid of him, even if I'm getting, I mean, if I'm getting 50 cents on a dollar, I'm probably still doing it easily, I bet you. Why don't you throw something into the trade machine here? Because this might be alarming of how low I might have him.
What about Tevin Coleman straight up for Jay? Well, you probably wouldn't do that.
No, I can't do that.
But see, I think that's close. Let's say you were to offer.
You can't do that because JJ still has getting all the carries.
All right, calm down. Well, Joe Mixon straight up for JJ.
I still can't do that just because I'm guaranteed all the touches in Miami. You're getting warmer, but you're not there.
All right, I'm getting warmer.
I'll tell you what level he's at. I'll tell you this I'll tell you the wide receiver that's in the same category. You tell me if you do it.
Okay.
Chris Hogan.
I'd rather have Hogan. I've seen enough from Hogan. I'd rather have Hogan.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I mean, is that too high for a Giant?
Well, I will say this: there, I am in a league where Isaiah Crowell was my second running back, and I have no running back to my bench. So if I'm in a league like that, then maybe I consider it. But I would have a really tough time trading Chris Hogan for Jay Ajayi. If I have Ajayi, I'm probably going to trade him.
I think that's still fair, though, because we're talking about someone who's four touchdowns on the year. I mean, he's not that.
I think Adam Gase is going to turn this offense around to a point. I don't think they're going to be as bad as they've been.
Right.
And Jay Ajayi. And I think they're going to need to rely more on the run because I don't think they trust Cutler. But
they have
we'll see.
Find a way to commit more to the run. There's just no way around it. So
and their success in the passing game is only going to help Jay Ajayi. Otherwise, teams can stack up against the run, and it's going to be really hard for Ajayi to, you know, running into brick walls every week. So, but I think that's a good comparison.
So real quick, I want to wrap up with the quarterbacks. I think in one quarterback leagues, you know, is there anyone that's even worth trading for in a one quarterback league?
I mean, you're probably not going to try and buy low on too many people because there's probably not much of a point in playing that game in a one quarterback league when there's probably going to be decent quarterbacks on waiver wires. You can grab one of them, or if you probably have a better quarterback, right? So I think there are some quarterbacks that have been really, really good that I think are worth trading for or maybe even selling high. I mean, I wouldn't touch Tom Brady if I owned Tom Brady. But if I own, you know, Alex Smith, for example, I mean, he is the second highest scoring fantasy quarterback going into this week. So, you know, I would absolutely trade Alex Smith. You know, I think anybody else is on the table. I would be fine trading a Drew Brees or a Dak Prescott or Russell Wilson. You know, if you have like let's say there's a quarterback like Andy Dalton or, you know, Philip Rivers or Blake Bortles on the waiver wire, I would be fine trading like a Russell Wilson or a Dak Prescott if you can get, you know, a pretty decent wide receiver running back to help you at those positions.
Yeah, like if someone's actually willing to give you positional pieces, knowing that you can go pick someone up off waivers or get a throwback. Now, in two quarterback leagues, because this is really the better question in terms of trading for quarterbacks, how much stock do you put into Alex Smith, Deshaun Watson, Jared Goff, Carson Wentz? I mean, these are all like top 10, you know, QB1s, top 12 quarterbacks that definitely went cheap or was picked up off waivers. Clearly, probably someone's two or number three. Are you trading for them, or how are you approaching them and forecasting them with terms of the rest of the year?
I'm selling Jared Goff high. I'll tell you that right now. And I do like Jared Goff, but I also have to, you know, look at it objectively and say, what's a smart way to approach Jared Goff? And I think, even though I think he's going to have a solid season when all is said and done, look at his next few games. He's got Seattle week 5, in Jacksonville week 6, Arizona week 7, then he's got his bye week 8, and then his next 3 weeks in New York, Giants, Houston at home. And the secondary has been banged up. Well, if they get fully healthy, that's going to be a better defense. And then in Minnesota, week 11. So he's got a rough stretch of games coming up. So I would strike while the iron's hot with Jared Goff. And obviously you want to make sure that in a two-quarterback league you can fill both quarterback positions and you don't want to be starting someone like an E.J. Manuel. But assuming you have some flexibility at all, I think Jared Goff is a great sell-high candidate.
What about Alex Smith? You going out and buying him? Because I don't think he's done anything besides week 1 for the 368 and 4 touchdowns. You know, his other weeks have been 251 and 1, 155 and 2 touchdowns, 293 and 1. Nothing crazy, just super consistent forcing the ball down the field a little bit. His matchups still look good.
Their offense is just different this year. It just feels different when you watch them. they feel like a legit Super Bowl contender, and I've never thought that about an Alex Smith or Kansas City Chiefs team. The addition of Kareem Hunt has added a new dimension to their offense where they have – it's almost like a deep play. It's almost having like someone that can stretch the field in a weird way, even though it's a running back. And they have Tyreek Hill, Travis Kelce. I just look at them differently. I look at Smith differently. I would trade for Alex Smith, you know, because I still think that people – I think he's always going to be disrespected a little bit. People are always going to look at him as, okay, yeah, he's been good so far, but he's still Alex Smith. So I think in that respect, I think it always makes him a pretty good trade target. But he's the second high-scoring quarterback through 4 weeks. So at some point, it's going to be hard to trade for him. But he's definitely someone that I would love to own because he's got as high floor as, you know, his floor is as high as they come, especially when you factor in his ability to rush as well and get the rushing yards. I think Deshaun Watson's a really good sell high candidate as well. And I like him. The problem with Deshaun Watson is he does have a huge ceiling. He's had back to back really, really good weeks, and they're just starting to unleash him, it seems, a little bit. I mean, 3 weeks in a row. With decent rushing games, 2 rushing touchdowns in the last 3 weeks. So he's a tough person to maybe like let go of. But if you can sell him,
I still sell high. I mean, he does have a decent schedule, and he's obviously still coming into his own. But I mean, in New England, Tennessee, I don't care, you know, if there's bad defenses all week. I still can't help but look at those specific 2 defenses and what they've been allowing all year. They just made Cam Newton, and Cam Newton didn't even look good. It's just, he was just throwing to wide open people. I mean, anyone could have done those. So Deshaun Watson has looked good. There's no doubt about it, but I agree. Like, I don't think that this type of gravy train is going to be going all year. So
one of the quarterback that I would try and buy low on, especially in a 2 quarterback league, is Matt Ryan. He has had a very 5 touchdowns, 5 interceptions through the first 4 weeks of the season. He's only topped 300 passing yards once, and that was week 1 in Chicago. He's on a bye this week. His wide receivers are banged up. So you're going to be able to get him for, you know, not pennies on the dollar, probably not 50 cents on the dollar. Maybe you get him at 60, 70 cents on the dollar. And again, look at his playoff schedule, playing New Orleans at home week 14 and plays in New Orleans week 16. Both project to be high-scoring matchups, as they always are. And then he plays, you know, Tampa Bay week 12 and Tampa Bay 15. So I think Matt Ryan is a great player to try and buy low on, if possible.
Yeah, and another one, too, as well, is Matt Stafford. He's had a couple good games, came out like gangbusters against Arizona. But, you know, he just played in Minnesota. Tough, just a tough place to play. Everyone on his team still healthy. Amir Abdullah still healthy. You know, the fact that Stafford can throw no touchdowns and win a game in Minnesota, very impressive for the team as a whole. And they played in New York and they played in Minnesota. So, you know, I wouldn't say the toughest matchups of the world, but again, he's actually had a decent output and he's probably on the back end of a fringe QB1. But I don't think anyone's kind of seeing him as that. And knowing that, you know, his playoff schedule is really nice in Tampa, Chicago, and Cincinnati. He's got New Orleans coming up, Pittsburgh.
He's got a really good schedule, really. I mean, New Orleans, Pittsburgh, Green Bay, Cleveland, Chicago, Minnesota at home. He's got a really, really, you know, I wouldn't say it a cupcake schedule, but he's got a really good schedule.
Yep. So I think he'd be another good person.
Yep.
All right, everyone, that's going to wrap up our episode. If you want the trade value chart, you want to be one of the beta testers and users, just go ahead to NFLTalkingHeads.com, go to the bottom of the page, just put in your email, sign up for the newsletter. We will send that out in PDF form. And thanks for listening. Leave us a review on iTunes, Stitcher, all the other places where you listen to podcasts. We would really appreciate it. We are the NFL Talking Heads, and thanks for listening.
Thanks so much for listening to this episode of the NFL Talking Heads Fantasy Football Podcast Show. Try saying that 3 times fast. With your hosts, Jeff Carrier and Seth Lowell. We'll catch you next time.